Please welcome. Welcome back to her New York home. Everybody. Hey, Jordan, and you're always very flowy. Yeah, she flows. She's in the flow.
I don't always flow. Sometimes I fall. Sometimes I do all kinds of things. What a joy to be with you here today. I'm going to just switch this lectern over. Garen, I thought that I was just going to come up. Oh, bless you. Yes, I do. Thank you. Oh, thank you so much. I thought that I'd be walking up here right after Garen sang, and I was thinking, how am I going to do that? How can I do that? Oh, what that song. Do you know that song that he sang, Not My Father's Son, from Kinky Boots? Oh, it's from Kinky Boots. Oh, that's Billy Porter's song, and yes. Well, what he says in there is so germane to our lives today, and that is that it's time for all of us to stop holding our breath. Been holding back, haven't we? I can speak for myself. I know I have. I've not been willing to see some of the ways that I've lived, some of the things that I've thought, and you know what? It's all well and good to be raised in unity, but I have to say, we are just as human in unity as anyone else is, and certainly not more spiritual than anyone else. Because our spiritual essence is the very core of who and what we are, no matter what kind of human shenanigans we get into. Repeat after me? No. And so to stop holding our breath and accept that, yes, we are just like that. That voice that Garen sang with, that it's time to breathe into the truth of who we are. We have all kinds of paradigms that are cutting through on that and giving us the opportunity to stand up and to be free. And so there's three times the charm, they say. Let's affirm together, I am free to be me. Together?
I am free to be me.
Because here's the thing, every one of us makes mistakes, has made mistakes. Raise your hand if you've ever made a mistake. You have to do that for heaven's sakes. You raise your legs on that one and all your hands and all your fingers. I mean, we can't count the number of times we've made mistakes or sinned, as they say, missed the mark. You know, it's just an archery term. It means you miss the mark. Personally, when I miss the mark, when I sin, what I like to do is just take the arrow and get right up close to the target and just like, right there in the center, so that I know that I've at least hit on a point in my life where I can see myself more clearly. Sometimes I've thought that I was a mistake. Ever thought that you were a mistake? That you're very living here? I mean, it's the core question, the esoteric, quintessential question for all of us is, who am I? And everything and everyone helps us sit into that query. Who am I? And how do we find out? By the way we respond to things, and by the way we knee-jerk react to things as well. All of that informs us, who am I? And it tends to be an either-or question as human beings. We tend to think, am I spirit or am I flesh? Am I kind or am I mean? Am I broken or am I whole? Am I worthy or am I unworthy? Am I my history, my herstory? Or am I free to really continue to become all that I'm here to be? And in unity we say that and know that we're actually, every one of us, filled with this divine essence, this divine spark, and so it's a remembering. And yet we get to take each other and give and share with each other as is. Have you guys ever bought a house as is? Yeah. Ever bought anything as is? We love to thrift shop, don't we?
Yes.
We buy things as is. And we look at it and go, well, there's a little tear in the seam here, but I love the fabric. I love the way it makes me feel. It sparks joy in me, so I know I can just stitch that up. We're here to be as we truly are. And let's face it, we're also fixer-uppers. Aren't we? I mean, we've got lots. I don't know how many programs on TV there are about fixer-uppers. Everybody's fascinated by what we can do with a fixer-upper. Well, I'm a fixer-upper, right? Are you a fixer-upper?
Yes.
And I'm free to be me. I was pointing at one person, that wasn't fair. Are you a fixer-uppers? Yes! And we're free to be who we are. It's the expectations, and that's what that song sings about. It's the expectations swirling inside our minds that we think we're supposed to be what somebody else thinks that we're supposed to be. That's what we think we're supposed to be, and we see ourselves falling short. But an expectation that we should be anything, that you should be anything or anyone other than who you are right now, as is, as much of a fixer-upper as you are, is just a setup. I like to think of expectations as premeditated resentments. Think about that, right? If you expect something to happen in a certain way, then you're going to be upset when it doesn't happen that way, when it falls short. I personally have not been a part of a family, though my family is fantastic. It's just a wonderful family. I'm blessed in that way. I've been part of church communities. I have been part of political groups. I've been part of economic groups. I've been part of boards of directors. And never once has there ever been a group that I have not been disappointed with in some way. And never once have I been a part of a group that I didn't disappoint in some way because of these expectations. But expectations also motivate us to face the situation, just to face it head on, and eventually to break through and to be able to see the truth. And we see it through these holes where things break apart. They're not permeable. We love to talk about and think about and sing about our brokenness, because in that permeability, we can see the light that shines through. In the namaste, we recognize that the divine in me, though it may not be showing every moment, does recognize the divine in you. We see through the holes. I remember the very first time when someone said to me, when they greeted me, "Good morning, Your Holiness." And I thought for sure they had said, "Good morning, you're a holy mess." I did. You know what? It was great. It was fabulous. It was like I felt free all of a sudden. I thought, there's somebody who can see me, that I'm a holy mess, and that I'm becoming what I was put here to be. I felt like I had really been seen. And ever since then, every now and again, I'll say to someone, "Good morning, Your Holiness." And by that, I recognize that, yeah, we have holes in us. And we are exactly as we're meant to be and becoming something far greater. There is always something coming, always something good. So the song that Garen was singing is from Kinky Boots. It's a true story, by the way. If you haven't seen it, you got to get there. I think I read something about Kinky Boots. They already closed. Well, but they're going to go on tour, right? So there's still time. You can see recordings, and we all YouTube and what have you. But it's a true story about a failing business that was run by Steve Pateman. It was called the W.J. Brooks Shoe Company. And it was a multi-generational shoe company. His father had been a shoe manufacturer and salesman. And I don't know how many generations it went back, but it was weighed heavily on Steve. He was to make this company go, and yet it was failing. The shoes they were designing, and whether or not people were wearing those kind of shoes anymore, I'm not sure why it was failing, but it was failing in Northampton, England. And he has someone who approaches him, and he realizes that there's something else that could be done, that he could team up with a very unlikely person that he never would have thought that he would even have gotten to know as a person, and it was a drag queen. It was a drag queen who said, "You know what, we need boots. We need people who make boots that fit us, because we're forcing ourselves into these boots that don't fit us, and just think of the things we could do, and there's a whole market, a global market out there." And he says yes to this. His company not only survives, but his company thrives. And why does that happen? It doesn't happen because of great songs in the musical that depicts it later on. It happened because Steve Pateman was willing to stop doing what he had always done. He stopped seeing himself as less, or thinking that they couldn't make it because of what they were doing, and so it would just have to end. But he took on a whole new way of being. He said yes to someone that he thought he would never have even met in his lifetime. And together, they bring forward this song that you heard in this different company. But I don't know how well you know those lyrics. Garrett changed the lyrics. My son changed Billy Porter's lyrics, and that's not because Billy Porter doesn't sing the lyrics well. That was because he has his own song to sing. You have your own song to sing. W.J. Brooks Shoe Company became a company called Divine Footwear. And as Divine Footwear, it went on and on. I don't know if it's still manufacturing shoes, but it ought to, because it's got some fabulous, fabulous feet that need to be shod. Feet that are unique. Feet that need to be elevated. 6 feet off the ground. Oh, I just got the lyrics to that. It's 6 feet off the ground. I just got it. Because the Kinky Boots boots are six, they've got a heel on them that's up to 6 feet off the ground. And the platform is, I think, up to an inch and a half off the ground. Most of the cast of Kinky Boots had never, ever worn a heel of any kind. And yet they learned, like graduated length method skis, you know, where they put them up on a little heel, and then a little heel, a little higher, a little higher. Eventually they could be out there being themselves in their magnificence. But it requires that you and I say, I don't have to continue doing what I'm doing. I don't have to continue holding this person in the way I've been holding them. I don't have to keep thinking of this limited paradigm in my life, because I'm here to live freely. In the book of Matthew 18:21, and this repeats in the Synoptic Gospels, Peter asked Jesus, how many times do we have to forgive? 77 in some translations, 7 times 7, but what is it to forgive? How many of you are forgiving? Raise your hand if you're forgiving. That means not, you know, taking. Yeah, if you're forgiving. Are you forgiving? Yeah, I like to give. I like to give. I like to receive. How many of you are against giving? Not one of you. So we are here, created to forgive. But what does it mean? It means that we give up something for something greater. You see that? Give for. Forgive. Give up the Old Testament of our lives for the New Testament of our lives. Give up the old thought that we've been thinking, the harshness, whatever it is, I have to do it this way, somebody said it should be this way. Give it up for something greater to take place. Can you feel that in your life? Would that make a difference in your life if you did that? 70 times 7. You know what that means? Britt's sitting back here. Do you know what that means? You're a minister. Do you know what that means? 70 times 7? Yeah, 70 times 7. 7, 7. 490, he said, mathematician that he is. No. It means until you change your own lyrics. It means until you change the song you're singing. So if today you're singing a song of, oh, everybody hates me, nobody likes me, think I'll go eat worms. Remember that one? I sang it a lot. Then pick yourself up. You're the only one who can do it. You're the only one who can affirm, I am here to be free. I'm born to be free. I am free in the living presence of who I truly am. That's the truth that sets us free. David Foster Wallace, the late David Foster Wallace, said it this way: the truth will set you free, but not until it's done with you. There's a beautiful, beautiful story about this in the Bible, and I know you all know it, so I'm just going to reiterate it to you a little bit, and just to apply it today. It's called The Prodigal Son. Do you remember this story? The Prodigal Son. There's a man who has 2 sons, but this story is about mainly the prodigal son. The prodigal means that part of us, that part of you, if you'll accept this, that is irresponsible. The part of you that is wasteful and may even think it's good for nothing, or somebody else thinks it's good for nothing. the prodigal son. And this prodigal son takes his inheritance ahead of time, takes it early while he's still young and can get out there and sow his seeds. And he goes off into what in the Bible is called the far country. A lot of people think that's New York, by the way. A lot of people think that's New York. And he spends it on drugs, sex, and rock and roll, right? Yeah, he just spends it until he hits his bottom. We all have a bottom to hit before we head back up to some. And he hits his bottom. He's not having a good time. He's a good Jewish boy. And he finds himself feeding the pigs. Wow, right? And no one will offer him even one pod of the food that he's giving the pigs to eat. So he's basically, it says in the Bible, but, whenever you see that word, what does that mean? But, it means everything that came before it just stopped. It's like eradicates everything that came before it. Thank you, God, right? But, put that behind you. But, right? But, he came to himself. The prodigal son woke up. That's that moment when you go, I could change that thought, I could change that pattern, I could forgive myself, I could forgive someone else and step into that new place. He came to and he said, what am I thinking? This is a painful place, I'm starving here. No, he probably said it like this, oh my God, what am I thinking? What, I'm feeding pigs, I'm starving here. I'm going home. The servants of my father's house eat better than I do. And he goes home. And while he's going home, he decides that he should have a mantra, an affirmation that he should say to his father. And his particular affirmation in place where he is in consciousness is this: Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And he keeps saying that. Father, I have sinned before heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But, say that with me, but from a long way off, his father sees him coming. So the father can't hear what he's saying to himself. His father is in this different place because he's been looking for his son ever since his son left. He has been looking for him. He knows what has transpired with his son. And yet he is looking for him. And it says in the Bible, from a long way off, his father sees him and feels compassion. Because he himself probably went to New York, I'm thinking, and spent a little money, and he sees him and feels compassion, and he runs and embraces him and kisses his son. That his son starts up, he says, Oy vey, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and his father says, but. He turns to the servants and he says, run off, get some stuff right now, bring my best robe here and put it on him, just as he is. Get a ring and put it on his hand. Get shoes and put them on his feet. So you see, the Father, who represents the consciousness in you that makes decisions, the consciousness in you that has clarity in the darkest of places, there is light. The Father in you is saying, I don't care what has happened up until now in your life. And I don't care who you think you have been or who you think you should be in order to suit my needs. You are magnificent just as you are. And I'm gonna put my best robe around you and my best ring on your finger. And I'm gonna put sandals on your bare feet. I'm gonna give you a fresh understanding. Put the sandals here so that you can stand in your truth and really be the light of God that you are. And by the way, we're going to have a party. We're going to celebrate you up one side and down the other. Unconditional love is not just for some of us. Doesn't matter what religious paradigm you were raised in, or if you have claimed to be or still are an atheist or an agnostic, those are just they're imaginings. They are labels. The question is, how have you labeled yourself? And who will you be now? Regardless of anything that has come before, who will you stand up and be? Forgive us Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, "Finish each day and be done with it. You have done what you could. Some blunders and absurdities no doubt crept in. Forget them as soon as you can. Tomorrow is a new day. Begin it well and serenely and with too high a spirit to be encumbered by your old nonsense. Today is, as they say, and remember this when I was a little, the first day of the rest of your life." You've heard that. It really is. It's not made up. This moment, this present moment, really is all there is. And so if you have something in your life, beloved, and you do, I know you do, you're still in a body like me. We got stuff going on. I would say to you, kinky boot it. Is that a verb or a noun? Just kinky boot it. Just tell yourself the truth. Forgive yourself or whoever it is, because just as you are, God is. I am free to be me. Just for a moment, close your eyes. Take that in. And as you exchange the breath and breathe out, drawing your navel to your spine with the out breath, feel the strength pouring into your body temple. Roll your shoulders back. And with eyes closed and intention fully open, come to yourself and repeat after me. I am free to be me. Together. I am free to be me. Oh, yes, you are.
We are going to honor our holiness, even if we feel like a holy mess, as Diane shared. Because we are holy, exactly as we are. We are holy. We are holy. Let's know this together. We are holy.
You are holy.
As we begin our time of meditation, I invite you to take on whatever hand mudra works for you. That gives you a feeling of connection with the divine. Perhaps an open hand. Perhaps an antennaed thumb. Into the beam, all is well. Perhaps palms down on the quadriceps, your thighs, to seal your relationship with the divine. Perhaps raised arms, no one's looking. Close your outer eyes if you're comfortable doing so. And just feel God breathing you. God, by whatever name, creative essence, love, that which we all come from and go to when we remember. And then the remembering, we take on those aspects of self that we have sloughed off at any point in time, or dropped, or forgotten. We remember. For what is it to fear but to forget that everything's all right? And with a breath, to blow away that old thought, to remember, I am. The Psalms remind us in this time to be still. Be still and know that I am of you. Be still. And so in order to still our bodies with your hands and whatever mudra is perfect for you, let's just take a moment to use our visualization, your vast capacity to imagine. And if you will, imagine yourself closed-eyed, completely supported in your chair, weightless, for you could in fact lift your feet now if you chose to, and you wouldn't fall. It's as if you were levitating right there, right where you are, above the expectations that you've held, the beliefs, the opinions, and there still. Imagine a spigot above you, a shower head perhaps, maybe a great big tropical rain, a cloud, something that bears water. So roll your shoulders back, beloved, no one's watching. Put your head back in whatever way is comfortable for you and allow the water to just flow like blessing. For as we allow one aspect, the crown of us, to be cleansed, the liquidity of all that is traces its way through all of our thoughts, all of our feelings, and all of our words, and all of our actions, making its way to the very lowest of places and being absorbed into the rootedness of recycling. Feel yourself being lifted up in the as you just sit and allow spirit to breathe you, breathing spirit, breathing you. For this blessed time of tranquility and collective quiet, we are so grateful. And whisper if you're comfortable doing so. Just whisper, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I invite you to put your palms together now, those two hands that you have been given, if those are available to you. And rub your hands together vigorously so that you can feel the energy of God building in you. Rub those hands. Hear the sound. It's almost as if cricket wings are moving together. And with a warmth, for the kingdom is surely at hand. And here it is right now. Place your hands quickly over your eyes. And feel the warmth that comes through you as you. Whenever you remember. And when it's your time to take your eyes, to open your eyes and take your hands away from your eyes, just allow your eyes to flutter open for what it is to pray in closed-eyed time is one aspect of prayer, an aspect of meditation, of connection. There's also open-eyed prayer, where we receive the images before us. And in this time, please receive this time of dance. And amen. Open-eyed. Amen.